Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Not Yet Three by Jonathan Richmond from his 1983 album, Jonathan Sings. Sending that out to our nephew, Finn, who is not yet three, who we are currently taking to the zoo.
Oh, how is the zoo up there in the Twin Cities?
We're the zoo in Memphis.
Oh, you're in Memphis. Oh, you're here.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yeah.
You're here for the opener. You're back.
Yeah.
You're back.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, well, I'm back right now for my son's fall break. And so we all came down and we are taking our nephew to the zoo today.
Oh, well, that's spectacular. Well, I won't keep you long then. A couple things. One is you write about a film, the film scene in Memphis, and I may have missed last week. Have you written anything about House of Dynamite? You aware of
no, okay, well, it hasn't opened in Memphis, and it probably won't,
really?
As far as I can tell, because it's a Netflix movie.
Oh.
And I don't think Malco doesn't do theatrical Netflix. It's actually shown in the Twin Cities. My wife and I were going to go earlier this week, and then we were both too tired, and we sat on the couch and caught up on Task instead. So I have not seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
but I don't think it'll get a theater opening in Memphis.
No. Well, that's one I that's a kind of movie I think I'd like. So tense, but not real life, like something hurtling towards the earth. An ICBM is hurtling towards the earth, right? And it's Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd like that.
Catherine Bigelow, who did The Hurt Locker, won an Oscar. I think she was the first female director to win a Best Director Oscar for The Hurt Locker. Also did now I'm blanking the Jessica Chastain Hunt for Bin Laden movie, which I think is quite good. Lots of good stuff. Catherine Bigelow has done.
All right. The Heat tonight, as the Grizzlies wrap up preseason. Let's just discuss the Heat briefly. What do you think?
Well, something's got to give. Two teams that are winless in preseason. So somebody's going to win a game. And so, I don't know. The Heat are one of those teams that feels very stuck in the middle. Like they're going to win 36 to 42 games.
Right.
The Grizzlies, you know, are projected to be more of a middle-painted team, too. There is that. Tyler Herro is out. Grizzlies will play the Heat again, I think, in the second or third game of the season. And so you'll preview a coming attractions there. You know, I'll be interested to see if Jaren plays again. There's been no indication Ja would suit up. I have no indication of that, but I that's something I've wondered about. I've already wondered about in public, so we'll see.
In terms of the Heat, there's a lot of similarities. They're waiting for an injured player to return in Tyler Herro. They've actually made stuck in the middle. They've been in the play-in three straight years. So, they really are stuck in the middle. What do you think the idea, obviously the idea when they got rid of Jimmy Butler was to get rid of Jimmy Butler, but what do you think the pivot is? What do you think they're trying to accomplish?
Well, they have always, the whole Pat Riley era, for the most part, they've been big game hunters. And so, you know, they went out and they got Jimmy Butler. They tried to get Damian Lillard. I mean, I'm sure they're interested in Giannis. I just don't know if they have the assets at this point to make a deal like that, to put a big money established star who might become available via trade on the team, you know, presumably with a Bam Adebayo or with a whoever. I think they are averse to doing a traditional rebuild, maybe because Pat Riley's 115 years old, and maybe because of the market they're in. But
right.
I think that's a team that in any other circumstance you would look at and say, okay, this has reached the end of the rope. Let's sweep out the ashes and start over again and go through a draft oriented rebuild. But that has not been the way they like to do things.
Yeah, I guess the hope for the future, like a Khalil Ware, who they could may have an upside Yakutsumas is a guy who they people like.
They have generally done pretty well in draft and develop with lower level picks, and so there is that, and that has helped them maintain, you know, a decent team. You know, Khalil Ware was a later first round pick. You know, Tyler Herro was, I don't know where he was, but he was not like a top 10 pick. Yeah, made the All-Star team last year. Bam Adebayo, I don't think, was a top 10 pick. So they have generally done well. They found players, you know, undrafted and what have you. So they are a well-run organization. It's just that it's hard to be good forever, you know, and so that's sort of where they're at.
And Norman Powell, I like the acquisition, but that just doesn't – that doesn't – it doesn't change the trajectory at all. Yeah. Okay. A couple things from the piece. We talked about the piece on the Grizzlies that was about to go up yesterday and has hence since gone up. So a couple things from that struck me, and then I'll let you pay attention to your nephew in the zoo. One is the points in the paint issue. Discuss. Grizzlies have historically been really good in the points in the paint category relative to their opponents. What's happening now and why?
Yeah, I mean, most of this era, they've had John Morant and a big center with Jonas Valanciunas, Steven Adams, Zach Edey. And having John Morant and a big center who's good on the offensive boards and good at screening has led to a team that has been almost every season among the top two or three in generating paint points. They have not had that dynamic in the preseason, needless to say. It's sort of funny, and I do it, to like be talking about like where you rank in the league in the preseason. Like, everyone's played like three or four games, and it's preseason basketball. But it is an illustration that function of the team is not functioning, and there's no mystery to that because it literally doesn't – it's not there on the floor. Like, you know, neither of those players have played a second.
Right.
Now, John Morant, we think, will be back soon, and that will change things in a hurry. But Zach Edey's not going to be back anytime soon. And so, there's also a new head coach, and so there's just a lot of unknown there.
Secondly, in the preseason, 54% of their shots have been from three. What do you make of that? And what do you expect it to be? And I don't know. It's kind of been extraordinary.
It's a very high number. It's slightly higher than Boston last season. Boston wanted to do that. Boston may want to do that again. I think Isola wants to generate a lot of threes, but I don't think he wants their shot diet to tip that far in that direction. And I think it's been a byproduct of not getting in the paint. And so now some threes you're going to get from penetration. He sort of talked about that, but also they're just not getting the other stuff that would counterbalance it. And so that's just a function of like part of the offense not working. And so the shots are leaning into the part that's easier to get.
I got you. And then finally, people can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. It went up yesterday afternoon. You talk about the defense. How good was Edey defensively last year?
Well, how good was he is sort of like a moment-by-moment thing.
Right.
How good was the team with him on the floor, depending on whether Jared Jackson was on the floor? When they played Jared and Edey together, the defense was awesome. And when they played Edey at center without Jaren on the floor, the defense was bad. And so, but that's not just about Jaren. I mean, the defense of Jaren and Edey was better than the defense of Jaren and other guys, right?
Yep.
And so that combination really, really worked defensively. The hope, obviously, is that you need to be better defensively with Edey on the floor, not with Jaren, because you can't play you know, him and Jaren together every minute he's out there. But he did a lot of things. I mean, he has weaknesses, obviously, in terms of foot speed. And when there's stuff coming at him and he has to, like, react quickly, that's a problem. He also gobbles up defensive rebounds, which is part of defense. And he does take up space in the paint, which is part of defense. So I think his individual defense is a mixed bag slash work in progress. But the team defense, when they were able to play him and Jaren together, which is their starting lineup,
right,
was really, really, really good.
And then finally, you do at least speculate as to whether – well, you point out there was always a trend the last few years that the defense would get better as the start off kind of shaky and get better as the season went along. And you speculated whether that was because in training camp they were always trying to fix the offense.
Right.
Do you sense the same, like there's been a priority? I don't know. What do you make of that? And do you sense there's been the same priority and we might therefore see the same thing, of course, apart from who's going to ultimately be returning, which will also help the defense?
Yeah, I think that might be the case. It's only theoretical and it's hard to apply because we're not actually in practice. you know, and so you're sort of reading tea leaves a little bit. I do think there's been a little bit more focused, or feels like there's been more focus, at least conversationally, on offensive approach. And, you know, and part of that is maybe that the guy who's more focused on the defense is the lead assistant, Ryan Saunders, who doesn't talk to the media. So maybe that's part of it. If he were talking after every practice, maybe there'd be more talk about defense. But I do generally think, like, in terms of, like, system, putting in system, you know, creating a style, that's probably a little bit more of an offensive-oriented thing. The defensive improvement was reliable under the Jenkins staff until last season. And I have no idea what to make about, you know, I don't know whether an Isolo Ryan Saunders coaching staff has a fundamental, like floor or strength defensively over the course of a season. I have no idea.
Remain to be seen.
Neither does anyone else. Right?
All right, enjoy the zoo. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris is at the zoo. Do you go to the zoo now? You've got a zoo-age child.
Yeah, so that's probably more upcoming in the next year or so. I went to the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, that's right.
A few months ago.
To the San Diego Zoo. Okay, on the Grizzlies, it was interesting because one of the things that struck me was after we wrapped up our show yesterday, and I listened a little bit to Jason and John because I'm an avid listener. This was less true of your show, but then it resumed with Gabe. I was on with Gabe. People have gone straight to Five Alarm. Like, people have gone straight to Five Alarm Fire here based on the preseason. And I think it's irrational. I do have deep concerns about the Grizzlies, and I think they're going to win between 35 and 40 games. It's going to be a significant step back, okay? But I think to base this on what we've seen in the preseason, the fundamental trash we've seen in the preseason, is kind of crazy. If you were worried, I hope you were worried before the season began because of health and because of, and particularly Zach Edey's health, right? And the fact that they've chosen really to take a step sideways back, whatever, in order to try to be better in the future. But, like, people are giving up on Cedric Coward. People are like, I don't really understand. I don't know how much you listen to after. But I also think it's kind of true out there. There is a, oh, my God, this team is going to be total trash because they lost big to Charlotte in the preseason.
What I've definitely noticed more so than in years past, there seems to be this online movement of acting like preseason really matters. And I don't know if that's simply just because it's the Grizzlies are back and people want to talk about it, but there is, I have noticed we have paid way more attention to the preseason this year than any other year in my 10 years working here. Yes.
Maybe because it's been particularly good or bad. That could be, maybe that's partly. Maybe it's.
I'm just talking about just purely the attention.
Right, but the attention could be driven by the results. Is what I'm saying. In other words, if you'd had a preseason where they'd won a game, looked good, lost a game, looked bad, won a game, looked good, maybe the reason that people have paid more attention to it is because it has been so dramatically hideous.
No, I've noticed this growing. It's this idea that there seems to be in. The online aspect of it is it's kind of a I know more than you do, because it started, I noticed, with the last Summer League. It was like if you didn't watch Summer League, you were somehow uninformed, and it was this growing. I think it's the idea that if you're not, like, people are trying to make a big deal out of it to, like, it's like an ego thing. Like,
well,
I watch more than
to
you
be
do.
First to declare.
I think there's definitely there's no question.
Let's be the first one to tell
and
people
in the NBA,
that he's never going to hit 3-pointers in the league.
Like, I was mentioning this on Tuesday. The NBA is the only sport where you think about it, like, we don't grant you, like, let's use last night's NFL game. Aaron Rodgers had been showing signs of deteriorating for a really long time, but you still in the back of your mind are like, well, he is still Aaron Rodgers. Like, you get the benefit of the doubt. Where in the NBA, it's like, we can't wait to move on from you. Like, when you look at the rankings.
I think that's right. Again, I'm concerned about this team. I'm concerned about the season writ large on all sorts of fronts. including enthusiasm and attendance and whatnot. So, but it doesn't, it isn't based on the fact that I've seen Cedric Coward miss jump shots.
Yeah. And, or, hey, they've had rebounding issues. Yeah. Like you and I, we talked about it. We have concerns about the
They're
rebounding.
They have massive rebounding issues.
Like that was new.
You could look back in the same way that people now look back at that summer when they just went young.
Yeah.
And said, what were you thinking? You could imagine this season, you're looking back at this and saying, what were you thinking? Except for this. It is really, if it weren't for the lease attendance, whatever, state of the city, all of that situation, I would be perfectly happy. Like if this were my team, the Buffalo Bills, well-established in Buffalo, whatever, like, there are years I'm perfectly happy to take a gap year. You know what I mean? Like I'm saying, oh, if we're going to stink this year, I get it. I see what's happening here. We're going to get two lottery picks. We're going to get the Suns lottery pick. We're going to have our lottery pick. I mean, literally, there are five teams you can probably tick off that are already in it for the lottery. And if things go badly for the Grizzlies, it would not be the worst thing from a trying to build for the future standpoint.
I'll say the key is that it's in the service of getting better because there are
the sixth worst team in the league this year. It would be the worst thing though. It could be the worst thing given where we are on the lease and attendance and all this other stuff. So, but just in the normal course of sometimes you have to accept the rebuild. We were just talking about the Heat. They never do. And so there they are stuck in the middle. How would you feel if you were a Heat fan? Genius coach, genius GM, all of that. They've been in the play in three straight years. Imagine, like, if they were here, we'd be ripping them. Totally mediocre, garbage franchise, stuck in the middle. They evidently don't ever feel like they can rebuild, right?
Yep.
And so there is value in rebuilding. And the truth of the matter is, if this season goes terribly south, in terms of that aspect, it would not be the worst thing in the world.
Yep.
But it might be the worst thing in the world, given where we are. And yes, that's the dilemma. So
the timing.
Anyway. All right. We are going to make you rich coming up in the next segment. Jeffrey was a tremendous, tremendous college football card. We'll discuss where he comes down on all of these big games. Before that, I will remind you, if you're thinking about losing weight, and you don't want to run a marathon. I honestly don't understand how people starve themselves to lose weight. I would never, ever be able to do that. When I have ever successfully lost weight, it's because I exercise. It has to be part of it. I don't really understand the just not eating, you know, three pieces of lettuce. I just can't do that, particularly living in Memphis. And now, of course, you know, you look around you all over the world, you see that people are losing weight with the help of medication. And at ProHealth, they've got a weight loss shot, semaglutide, that can help you curb your appetite, shed the extra pounds, and actually give you energy while you're doing it. And then at ProHealth, they check in, they track your progress, they're in it with you. It's like having a coach in the corner. And here we are. We're midway through October. Let's be honest, you don't want to get to January 1 once again saying this is the year. Go ahead and do something for yourself now. ProHealth, by the way, they do lots of other stuff too. They do allergy shots. They do testosterone replacement, sick visits, vitamin B12, all of that. But if you're thinking about, again, like it's time to get on top of your weight, ProHealth is there for you as well. They've got offices in Germantown, Collierville, Bartlett, and two in East Memphis. It's ProHealth Memphis. To learn more, just go to ProHealthMemphis.com. Jeffrey's Bets when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. It is that time again, time for Jeffrey to make you money. Every single year, I put 10 crisp $100 bills in his hand, and Jeffrey goes out and invests. And this has been a particularly fruitful year, with no exceptions that I'm going to talk about. And so, Jeffrey, what is my $1,000?
What are you referencing, Jeff?
What are my $1,000? Don't even let me get in. I'm not even getting near it. What last week? What is my money up to?
Jeff, your money is up to $1,775.
That's a beautiful thing. And this card, I had this on my desk before the show began.
Yeah, and I just added another.
Oh, that's how good the week is. This is going to be a particularly fruitful, bountiful week. Let's get to it.
All right, Jeff, we're starting with a couple of where's my bitch offenses. We've got Cal. We got North Carolina. Is North Carolina playing a football game?
Evidently, sort of.
Then we will be fading North Carolina. Yes. Are we scared that Justin Wilcox is terrible as a favorite? Of course we are. We love Justin Wilcox as an underdog. With that being said, North Carolina is playing football. We got to do something, so we got to bet against them. We'll lay the 8.5 with Cal.
What line would persuade you not to touch this one? This is 8.5. What would you like, 23? You wouldn't do 23.
I would start to think about it with 17.
This is incredible how bad they are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next.
Jeff, is Boston College playing football?
Yep.
They are playing UConn tomorrow, 11 a.m. Give me UConn plus two.
UConn plus two over the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
These two teams fail to cover at a rate of 10 points per game. Jeff, let's go to Durham.
Let's Duke.
Let's Lukey. Go to Duke, Duke, Durham. Duke.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech is a ranked opponent. They are playing an unranked opponent, yeah. And they are the underdog.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and take those points then, man. That's a gift.
Last week, all three unranked favorites won and covered against their ranked opponent, and now five of the last six have done so this year, the lone loss being Louisville, who lost to UVA in overtime. Give me the Dukies. I'll lay the 1.5.
Duke minus 2.5 over Georgia Tech. All right, next.
Jeff, I love history.
You do.
I
do. You do. You're a history guy.
For the first time since we've been keeping track of lines, Vanderbilt is a favorite in a ranked game.
I heard you say this yesterday. First time.
Never, ever happened.
Ever. That ever. Ever, ever. Their favorite playing a ranked opponent.
They're not going to give you a plus sign with LSU just because they're generous. Give me the Doors. I'll lay the 2.5.
Vandy minus 2.5 over LSU. Next.
Jeff, just a principal revenge play. Tulane last year lost the American title game up in West Point because they were cold. This year, they'll be hosting Army this weekend. Army stinks. I'll lay the 9.5.
What happened to Army?
They don't have a quarterback. That has been a big problem, but just defensively, they have no athletes.
Okay, next.
Jeff, Brent Venables kind of low-key stinks.
And you've been saying that he still could be on some sort of a warm seat.
He is 1-7 in his last games against Power 4 teams, played in October or later. Give me South Carolina. I'll take 6 points at home.
How the worm has turned.
Mm-hmm.
They were glorious days in Oklahoma not long ago. Next, the new $11 million coach. Is that where we're going next?
The new $11 million coach. Jeff's 27 points is just way too many in a Big Ten game. Give me Jonathan Smith. I'll take Michigan State plus 27.
Michigan State plus 27 over the new $11 million coach next.
Jeff, let's go to Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs will be hosting the Rebels. I don't really trust either offense. Georgia's offense, not particularly explosive. I don't really have the Trinidad Chambliss cult gene that a lot of people seem to have.
It's virulent.
He misses a lot of throws. I think it's an awesome story. I'm excited about it.
You like the story better than the arm.
Correct. I'm going to just go under 56.5. I don't think either team is really going to score that much.
Georgia minus 7.5?
Georgia minus 7.5.
Okay, if you had to bet it.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I almost think Ole Miss either wins the game or gets blown out. So I was thinking about either like Ole Miss money line or laying it with Georgia. Chris Felica had
give me the argument why Georgia wins this game.
Georgia wins because they have better players pretty much everywhere. Ole Miss is on the road. Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin as a road underdog. I think they're 2-5 against the spread. And more importantly,
that's pretty impressive. It's a pretty impressive case. Give me the case why Ole Miss wins.
Why Ole Miss wins is Georgia really that good?
That's a question.
Are they? What leads us to believe that Georgia is really, really good? What leads us to believe that they are worth basically being a touchdown plus favorite? To me, it's as simple as Georgia does not rush the passer particularly well. Ole Miss has a running quarterback. Running quarterbacks have given Georgia fits this year. And Auburn had him on the ropes last week. Trinidad Chambliss is better than Jackson Arnold. And Ole Miss has better, like, Ole Miss probably collectively is a better team. So there's nothing really separating these teams, and it could come down to like one play.
All right, but they were doing the under. Next.
Jeff, let's go to Fayetteville. This is just the, I know you were spunky against Tennessee. I don't really care. Texas A&M is going to smush you. I will lay 7 points with the Aggies.
Who's the next Arkansas coach?
I'm going to say Rhett Lashley.
I heard you talking about this yesterday.
I don't think he can say no if they offer it to
because
him.
Because
his current
job is not what you... Not what it seems
I think everyone
year.
Has done this whole move. Well, look, he could have better access to the playoff at SMU. He had better access last year. We don't really know if that's going to be the way it's going to move forward.
All right, next. That's Texas A&M minus 7 over Arkansas.
Jeff, this is just the classic. Is Texas Tech playing? They can't get the line right. They're playing Arizona State. Arizona State's actually not that good this year. I'll lay 7.
Texas Tech minus 7 over Arizona State. Next.
Jeff, let's go to a bounce back game. We got North Texas hosting UTSA. I know Jeff Traylor is like on the front of Texas Coaches Monthly. He's not actually that good of a football coach. Give me North Texas. I'll lay the 4.
North Texas bounce back minus 4 over UTSA. Next.
Jeff, is South Florida playing?
South Florida is playing.
They're playing FAU, the top of the league, way better than the bottom of the league. I only got to lay 21. I'll do it.
Next.
I don't love this, but I'm just going to trust my gut. Alabama has played 3 straight really tough games, and I've just kind of talked myself into Tennessee's going to weirdly. It feels like these are 2 teams going in opposite directions. Everybody is high, super, super high on Alabama, and everyone thinks Tennessee's trending down. I just think it's going to be a close football game. Give me 8 points.
Tennessee plus 8. By the way, did you see Max Gilbert? SEC
Special Teams
Player of the Week. How about that? That is a bounce back. Just because you miss a kick. And that's true in life, people. You do the equivalent of, it's not over. It's not over until they say it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Max Gilbert, Special Teams Player of the Week. Tennessee plus 8 over Alabama. Next.
Jeff, this is just, I have to do it. I don't think Boise State's that good. Give me UNLV plus 13.
Boise... UNLV plus 13 mm-hmm. over Boise. Okay, I'm adding that to the card. Next.
Jeff, this is our Enron bet of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Texas following Red River on the road, 1-6-1 against the spread. Kentucky plus 12.5. Everyone's looking at that going, what the heck is this line? I think they are just daring you to take Texas. Give me Kentucky. Give me 12.5.
I heard you talking about Giannotto's tweet about Mark Stoops.
Yes.
being
at a restaurant in Blacksburg. Yes.
Was he making fun of the fact that someone said they spotted him, or was he endorsing the notion that Mark Stoops?
He was making fun of the fact that he had the same rumor happen when he was covering Virginia Tech.
Seeing people in the Buffalo airport. All right, Kentucky plus 12.5 over Texas. Next.
Jeff, let's go to the Holy War.
Yep.
Where was my nugget on this one? 6-0 BYU is a home underdog to 5-1 Utah. Over the last 20 years, there have been 14 teams, 6-0 or better, that were home underdogs to a team with a loss. Those 14 teams went 4-10. The last such instance was Penn State last season losing to Ohio State. These two teams are not the same. Utah is actually good. BYU just has a good schedule. Give me Utah. I'll lay the 3.
Utah minus 3 over BYU. There's one more you haven't discussed. It's a good thing I make room on this radio show for your personal vendettas. We all endorse vendettas for fun now and again.
Tell me I was right.
You seem to be right about Hugh Freeze and Auburn.
You defended the hire.
The end. You think this is the end. It's good radio, man. No, I did defend the hire. I did defend the hire. I was wrong. I was wrong. It turns out every coach at Auburn is wrong, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one's particularly wrong. He is 1-8 in SEC games. At home, he has 2 wins. We got Missouri coming in. He kicked off the team captain. The team is revolted. They are on quit watch. Give me Missouri. I'll lay the 1.5.
Missouri champagne minus game. 1.5 for Auburn. Is that it? All right, let's do this. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Cal minus 8. No, yes. Cal minus 8.5 over North Carolina. UConn plus 2 over Boston College. Duke minus 1.5 over Georgia Tech. Vanderbilt minus 2.5 over LSU. Tulane minus 9.5 over Army. South Carolina plus 6 over Oklahoma. Michigan State plus a whopping 27 over Indiana. Georgia and Ole Miss, well, let's stay away from the that. Let's just go under there. Under 56.5 is the Georgia-Ole Miss approach. Texas A&M minus 7 over Arkansas. Texas Tech minus 7 over Arizona State. North Texas minus 4 over UTSA. South Florida minus 21 over FAU. Tennessee, Go Vols plus 8 over Alabama. Missouri minus 1.5 over Auburn. Kentucky plus 12.5 over Texas. Utah minus 3 over BYU. Just isn't that good. And UNLV plus 13 over Boise. That is your card. What's the Memphis line?
21.5. I was close to laying it with Memphis, but I am a little concerned. If there is such thing as a fired coach bump, Trent Dilfer would definitely qualify. And with it being just enough uncertainty, I just laid off.
The bones. The battle for the bones,
baby.
Staying in Memphis. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. You know, Jeffrey, I finally figured out partly why I was in the fulcrum of such social media loathing last night, right? So I took a photo of a cop taking a photo of the National Guard posing in front of other cops on a horseback, right? Because it seemed hilarious to me, right? And someone who I won't name said that if I retweeted it with the hashtag show us your hellhole, that Kimmel's doing a thing where, like, when people send in pictures of their quote-unquote hellholes that are not actually hellholes, they throw those up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's fine. Maybe we'll show the world that Memphis is really not, you know, is really just kind of a great place where fun things are happening and can get a little ridiculous with all this stuff. What actually, I've interpreted it now. Because people were coming at me like, since when does Jeff hate Memphis? They thought I was actually calling Memphis a hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is just a trap. It's a trap. Turn back. It's a trap. Don't do it. Don't do it. What did you last tweet? What was your last tweet? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
How about like yesterday in real life? Like, are you weighing in on stuff?
All right, let's see.
Are you weighing in on sports stuff on social media?
I tweeted the lineup for today.
Yeah, well, that's all. This is all just good professional reaching out to the public. Did you argue with anyone? Have you argued with anyone recently? Don't do it. It's a trap.
No, I don't really
engage.
Yeah. I also tweeted this. I'm so mad at John Martin. I'd finally kicked the habit of betting on the Bengals, but then he brings me back last night with a winner.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
He nailed it.
But now I'm just going to bet the Bengals the rest of the year and keep
and
losing
now
money. Yes.
And now you're going to be screwed. Did you bet last night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were.
I kicked the habit. I was done. I'd finally stopped.
But you went back in and
you won. I had to taste it again. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So now, like, I'm going to, like, lose, like, 15 bets.
Let's discuss a couple things that we have not
done. Okay.
One is, now that Cignetti's off the table, we are looking at this wild offseason of coaching changes in the, again, it may be Napier and Freeze both lose their jobs by the time we reconvene
God
on
willing.
Monday, right?
Yes.
What is going to happen? And I did see that James Franklin is going to be on game day. Day tomorrow. And he's great on TV. He'll be great on TV. But he's not staying on TV. He's not the Nick Saban portion of his career where he's going
to. Yeah, I would. Unless he just wants to really stick it to Penn State.
Because he doesn't have. Yeah, because they're paying him anyway. But still, he can go out and make more money. He's going to get another, you know, massive deal. He can go make more money than.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not.
He didn't do a bad job at Penn State. It run its course.
He did a very good job at Penn State. He did a very good job at Vanderbilt. And he was on my TV show once.
Mm.
So he got the, you know.
Sports Files?
He was on Sports Files. He came in studio. Who's going to end up where? Where's James Franklin going to end up?
I don't know, because what I don't know with him is, does he want to stay in the Big Ten? Because, like, if I'm Wisconsin, I'm taking James Franklin.
100%.
But I don't know if, like, Wisconsin might go back to the old Wisconsin
now that
well.
See, here's the other problem. If you're looking at the Big Ten jobs, and you know Ohio State's going to spend, and you know Michigan's going to spend, and you know Penn State's going to spend, and now you know Indiana's going to spend, like, Wisconsin used to be right there, right?
Yep.
Is Wisconsin falling down the...
Well, Wisconsin was propped up for a very long time because they played in the Big Ten West.
Right.
So their side of the division really helped them. But, I mean, you make a fair point. With that being said, though, Wisconsin's still a very rich school. Like, there's no reason they should be this bad.
No, they should not be this bad. And what in the NFL schedule are you particularly looking forward to this week?
All right.
There's a lot of bad games.
Oh, honestly. My gosh. I told you the noon slate was awful.
Rams-Jacksonville is okay.
But that's not noon. That's the London.
That's the London game. Then
no Puka, by the way.
This, and no Puka. So then you got, like, there are a lot of teams. A lot of these games have one bad team in them. At least one bad team in them. Like New Orleans and Chicago, right? Or like Miami and Cleveland. That's two bad teams. Or like New England. You might be interested in New England. But New England and Tennessee.
No.
Really interested in that? Or KC. and Las Vegas, right? Ugh. You interested in that? The Carolina and the Jets. That's there's a lot of, I guess we'll give the Giants credit for being feisty now, right? So the Giants have become interesting with Denver. That game's interesting.
Like 305, though.
Washington-Dallas used to be a massive game every year.
Yep.
No longer, right? No longer. Green Bay, Arizona.
I think Dallas just plays fun games because their defense stinks.
I think that's fair.
Like the Dallas games are usually fun to watch.
I saw a metric today about what quarterbacks are being most let down by
the defense
team around them.
Yeah.
Right? And the answer there, the single quarterback who is being most betrayed, it's the betrayal index,
mm-hmm.
by his quarterback, by his team around him, is Dak.
Why is his team around him really bad?
Because he makes too much money.
There you go.
There is that. That is one of the complications. So what then, given all these games that I have told you are wanting, there's really not a great game.
No, but I
the only great game is Monday night, Tampa Bay and Detroit.
That's the only game.
The only great game. It's a great college slate. It is not a great NFL slate. But we will be back to talk about it on Monday. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason John. Parth Upadhyay will join the guys today. Blake Topmeyer is going to join DeMichael and myself on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back on Monday for Now Work is Done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.